We are here today to look into God's Word found in Genesis 6 and talk about faith and obedience from a familiar passage of Scripture, Noah's Ark. I thought it fitting to preach on Noah's Ark before many of us go to Kentucky to see the replica in July. What a structure, and we are going to read about it. Noah easily enters into the walls of children's church and nurseries, but sadly, rarely makes it into the sanctuary. What part does Noah play in God's big overarching plan of redemption? Moses records this snapshot for us. Today we turn to Genesis 6, 14 to 22, where a good man stands out, but only because there's a greater God who stands out even more. What does God care about, and what is He up to? We look at a world of sin, a world where sin is, and yet God's plan of redemption shall be carried forth. This big story will come to fruition, and we will see the beauty of all that God has done and is doing. May we remain faithful to the Scriptures as God is at work. Let me begin reading in verse 9 to give a more backstory to what is going on, even though it is a familiar passage. Verses 9 through 22, the sermon will be on 14. Verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for this time. May you open our hearts and our minds to your living word. May it jump off the page and may we see you and your glory in the midst of it. May you work in this and through this. May your presence be here. May it not be my words, but yours, O Lord. We pray for this text, for this Scripture, as we look to this man, Noah, but even more so as we look to Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a tree fell down in my yard the week before last, and I do not own a chainsaw yet for whatever reason. So after a week or so, I decided to go out there and just begin splitting up the branch with my axe. I swung and swung and swung, sweat pouring down me, and a few blisters later, I began getting quite fatigued. And then, lo and behold, someone in a vehicle pulls out and slows down next to me and says that he has a chainsaw in the back and would not mind at all chopping up the limbs for me. So I sit back in amazement as this man comes and goes just like that, after he made the branch manageable to haul off. Was he an angel? No. I would later find out that he was a farm worker. However, he made my day. But here's the thing. I was cutting one branch. It was not even a whole tree. And I had an axe and was hoping to get a chainsaw. But there I was, chopping with an axe and wanting to own a chainsaw. But Noah didn't have a chainsaw. In fact, he had no inclination about a chainsaw, bar oil, or the like. He also had a massive boat to build. He had instructions, and it took him 120 years. I lasted about 5 hours. Here Noah is, doing the work of the Lord and obeying his instructions. Today we have 3 points. 1, God has a plan. 2, God establishes covenant. And 3, God demands obedience. 1, God has a plan. First, Noah receives instruction. Our text today begins with God giving Noah instruction, and not only instruction, but very detailed instruction. God lays it all out for Noah. God's plan is not only in this big story of redemption, but in the details. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, 450 feet long, 30 cubits high, rooms covered with pitch, windows, a door, decks, and more. And Noah faithfully did all these things. Specifically, God gives instruction of measurement to Noah long before Noah knows what he is doing. God is giving Noah instruction that he does not know yet. God knows what this boat will be used for and where the giraffes will be and the height necessary for their heads and where the hippos will be and the width necessary for their stay. God is rescuing a people for himself and animals to walk the earth again. God cares about the details and even tells us to walk in obedience and faith, carrying out those very details. Noah built the ark in reverence, in pious care, and in worship. And he did not procrastinate. My, don't I have much to learn from there. Get this. Noah even carried out all these things with no conception of rain whatsoever, as we talked about a few weeks ago in our youth Sunday school class. Genesis 2:6 says, "But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground." That doesn't sound like rain to me as we know it. Evidently, in the garden and before Noah, there was another type of ecosystem, a system that did not require rain, but the plants were still nurtured and the people still cared for. Well, how would Noah respond? He takes a big leap of faith in the first swing of the axe on the gopher wood. It is also important to note here, on Mother's Day, that Noah's wife must have kept up with a lot of the details and instructions given by God and kept Noah in line and on task with the details, right? Works that way most times in my household. Yes, Noah was righteous, but behind every great woman, every great man is a greater woman. She bore his children and stayed with him even when he was building a boat for 120 years, and they had no idea what rain was. And even when they were not accepted by the people, but ridiculed. She also put up with Noah on a boat for over a year. Behind Noah, more like beside. But the boat was needed because God would deal with sin, and he must deal with sin. Sin is serious and very serious to God. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me," David proclaims, dealing with the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba. Now for these sins, God would judge the whole world. There was a need to begin again, and Noah was righteous. Not because of Noah, but because of God. Noah preached righteousness in speech and in building a boat on dry ground without having any concept of rain. What faith! Noah preached repentance for 120 years, and no one listened or turned. Noah preached to all and even preached a message of doom. It did not work. He preached while he built. Both were hard. The people knew and rejected. They had 120 years of hearing the truth and not responding to it. But Noah knew what was to be done, and he went after it because he walked with God. Are you Noah? What would you have done? I would have at least given up at year 100, or let's be real, day 100. God cares about the details and even cares for the smallest details of your life. He has a purpose and a plan, and he brings forth this story of redemption through his servant Noah. 2, God establishes covenant. He does this through covenant, through relationship. A covenant is a mutual agreement between two parties, a promise God is making with his people in love. And yet what we find is that people are unfaithful to that covenant, and God is always faithful. God is faithful even when we are not. God extends grace, even grace to all of creation. God gives Noah this task and tells of the covenant he is making with him. The covenant will extend to all people with the rainbow. But Noah won't know that for years. Even though the earth is cursed, God still demands care of the animals and creation. One ongoing story. Sin affects all creation. God does not give up. And the grace is extended to every species. Every species created and designed by God himself. Nocturnal eyes, backbones, tall ears, short ears, spots and stripes, all unique and all pointing to the beauty of our God, this intelligent design and mercy towards the creation. He could have wiped everyone and everything out, but he preserves a remnant. Let's look at two faithful women, Shiphrah and Puah. Who were they? They were midwives in Exodus 1, and Pharaoh tells them to kill the Hebrew boys when they are being born. And they did not, because the Bible says that they feared the Lord. When confronted by Pharaoh, they said that Hebrew women give birth too speedily for them to get there in time. And this account leads into Moses being saved. The basket Moses was saved in going down the Nile and the ark are the same word in Hebrew, tabat. And this Hebrew word is only used in the Bible for these two arks. They brought protection and were ways of salvation for the people. Noah and his family were protected and saved through the flood. They were set apart, cleansed, baptized even. Peter shows in both 1 Peter and 2 Peter, those destroyed in the flood are ungodly, but salvation is to some. Protection. So what happens? No one turns from their wicked ways. The animals come two by two and fill the ark. They close the door and wait. The rain comes and floods the whole earth. Noah and his family are protected on the ark as well as the animals two by two. The flood waters come and they wait on the ark. Food is dispersed, poop is scooped, and prayer is had. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Everything not on the ark that needed land to survive died. Only Noah and his family and the animals on the ark were saved. After much waiting for the floodwaters to subside, Noah sends out a raven and then doves several times. And finally, the earth is ready to be walked on again. Imagine the faith it took Noah every time to send out the birds and the prayer he must have had over their journey. He had a steadfast patience and a trust in God. He believed time after time that the land would be ready, and now it was. And they walked on the cleansed earth. Then what happens? The rainbow. The beautiful rainbow. God confirms his covenant not only with Noah, not only with Christians, not only with churches, but with all of creation in the rainbow. God established that he will never flood the whole earth again. The rainbow is a sign of that promise. Never let anyone taint the true meaning of the rainbow, because God keeps his promises, and this promise is to all people. First, God tells Adam to fill the earth and subdue it. Now God tells Noah to do the same. This is a foretaste of the new creation, and this is God's plan for the people to multiply. God is at work, and the importance of the repetition of the command in chapter 9 displays what God is doing there and will forever do. God's covenant with Abraham sets forth a people for himself. These are Christians. We are brought into the family of God and called children of God. This is undeserved. And then Noah being saved through the flood is undeserved. Noah's righteousness wasn't his own either. Mankind is in need of Christ and his righteousness. And this righteousness will be met only by the blood of Christ on the cross, where the new covenant is enacted that we are under. Here, God's covenant with Noah will not allow man's sin to get in the way of all of creation and his redemptive plan. God's covenant says that man cannot stop the new heavens and the new earth from coming and being established. God, man, and the world will one day be in harmony again. Point number three, God demands obedience. Who is included in the good of those who love him? Well, certainly Noah. Noah's faith was shown through his obedience. Verse 9 speaks to Noah's righteousness and integrity, walking with God like Enoch. Noah had integrity of heart. But was Noah perfect? What did he do a little while after getting off the ark? He got drunk and he sinned. Not if we fail, but when we fail. When we fail, go to the cross. Run to Jesus. Verse 22 says that God commanded this and Noah did. Noah did everything just as God commanded him to do. All the details. If God can command the winds and the waves to obey him, he can certainly command Noah. And he can certainly command you and I. What a testimony. God told Noah to do something that he had no idea about, and he did it anyway. He built a boat and preached for 120 years, seeing no fruit. But he trusted and he obeyed. He had faith and thus was added into the faithful. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith." This is trusting. This is obedience. But even still, O righteous Noah could not be sinless and could not save himself. Someone greater was needed, and that someone is Jesus Christ. Noah was under the old covenant, and we are now under the new. We are saved in Jesus Christ, and he is the ultimate sacrifice. Noah and his family were saved. We are in Christ. God takes our faith and claims us. He even takes an imperfect faith and molds us. Just look at the disciples. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He loves us and cares for us. God cares for and loves us so much that he sent his only son as a sacrifice for our sins. We are brought into the family in community. Noah did not have a community to lean on. We do in Christ. You can call me brother because we're one in Christ Jesus. Noah and his family were saved. God saved the remnant and kept his promise. The ark was an act of both judgment and mercy. Noah was saved. Noah was not saved because of his works, but God delights in us. We are his workmanship. God delights in us even more so when we exalt Christ far over our works, because our works are nothing, filthy rags without Christ. If you are a believer, God may look at you and call you worthy, not because of you, but because he looks at his Son who stood in your place. We have not earned it, but God's plan of redemption is met in the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. God may look at you and call you worthy, not because of you, but because he looks at his Son, Christ Jesus, whose righteousness covers you. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. If I were to summarize this sermon in one sentence, it would be, even when you know nothing, trust and obey. So what can we learn from Noah and God's covenant with him? We see God's faithfulness and care. Be faithful no matter the circumstances. This was the message of Habakkuk, and Habakkuk 2:4 says, "The righteous will live by his faith." Do not falter. Do not waver in doing good. I don't have to convince you that we are living in a trying time today. Have good character. Stay faithful. Peter also encourages us, remain faithful. Noah had unbelievers on all sides, yet he remained faithful. The community of faith is so important. It is so important who you surround yourself with. Be a leader and example wherever you are. In Christ and in His redemptive plan, we are still called to action, faith, and obedience. In your work, in your labor, throughout your day. Not because you're better than everyone, but because Jesus is the best, and His best covers your worst. There is a replica of the Ark in Kentucky. We're going to go see it this July, and I'm excited. And we still have spots available. You can hop on board. Pun intended. Still, God is reminded of His promise. Revelation 4:3 tells us, God is always reminded of His covenant. This is really neat. It says, "And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne." What? God who is seated on the throne has a rainbow encircling Him? Does that mean that God looks down at us? He looks through the rainbow. When God looks down at us, He looks through the lens of the rainbow, always remembering His covenant to us. The rainbow encircles the throne and is God's view of His creation. Praise God. Has anyone heard of Easy Eddie before? What about Al Capone? Easy Eddie was an exceptional lawyer and worked as Al Capone's lawyer for years. They could never nail Al Capone down with anything because of Easy Eddie and his work in keeping this mobster out of jail. Though one day, Easy Eddie looked at his son and decided he wanted out. He wanted to teach his son right from wrong and wanted to give his son a better name to carry on. So he handed over evidence on Al Capone. It was not much later when Easy Eddie was found dead in his yard. He made a statement. Easy Eddie made a statement for his good character as a legacy for his family. Butch O'Hare. Do you know who he was? Butch O'Hare was a pilot during World War II. He was low on fuel on one occasion and was about to head back to base. But he saw Japanese planes headed for trouble and he decided to go after them. He ended up shooting some down until he ran out of ammo. And when he ran out of ammo, he began flying his plane in to try and clip off the wings of the Japanese planes. He did this as long as his fuel levels held up. He saved many American lives that day and received the Medal of Honor. But was anyone watching him? No. He was fighting the Japanese by himself. Who was Butch O'Hare? Well, the Chicago airport is named after him. He received the Medal of Honor for his actions. Butch O'Hare is Easy Eddie's son. Have character even when no one is looking. But even more so, rest on the promises of God. He is redeeming all things and making all things new. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, give us strength to remain faithful to You and to Your Word. Help us during these times. Grant us Your peace and Your Spirit. May we look to You. May we turn to You. When You give us directions, may we listen. When You give us directions, may we trust and obey. Even when we don't know the outcome, even when we are in the midst of a storm or the midst of a rain, may we look to You. Even when not knowing the answers, may we trust and obey. May we trust and obey in You and Your goodness and Your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.